Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to get you well informed on groundbreaking ideas. Today, we're plunging into the rapidly expanding world of the Internet of Things, or IoT. I mean, we're talking billions of devices, just mountains of data streaming every second. But here's the critical challenge. How do we truly trust this huge decentralized network? Especially when, you know, these devices are wildly different and there's no single central authority watching over everything.
It is. It's a really profound challenge. We're definitely moving into an era where securing data integrity, making sure things are auditable in these really complex environments, it's not just a nice to have anymore. It's absolutely essential. We need systems that can handle this incredible diversity, but stay completely reliable.
And that's exactly our mission today. We're going to explore a pretty groundbreaking framework designed to solve this exact problem. It's called Trust Mesh. It's proposed by Murtaza Rangwala and Rajkumar Bhuya from the University of Melbourne. So our deep dive will basically pull out the core insights from their research paper to understand Trust Mesh's novel approach. Our goal for you, the listener, is to really uncover how it tackles these complex trust issues, what makes it so innovative, and, you know, why it represents such a significant step forward for the future of all these connected devices. Let's explore this together.
Yeah, and when we talk about a trust problem in IoT, it's like it's not abstract at all. It has very real-world implications where data integrity is, well, literally critical. Take smart city traffic management, for instance. You've got data flowing from countless sensors. Now, if a single entity could manipulate that data, maybe to create fake traffic jams or worse, reroute emergency services, the consequences could be, well, huge.
Definitely. And think about healthcare IoT too. Wearable devices, remote patient monitoring systems, they generate incredibly sensitive health data. You really need a trustless framework here. And by trustless, we mean a system designed so you don't have to just blindly trust some company or central authority with your information. Instead, the tech itself ensures privacy and only allows authorized access when it's genuinely needed. It's, you know, about empowering the patient, not just some data gatekeeper.
Exactly. And in industrial IoT, things like predictive maintenance or supply chain management across, say, multiple vendors. Mm-hmm. Tamper-proof data and clear audit trails are absolutely vital for reliability, for compliance. Imagine a cold chain monitoring system, you know, for food or medicines. Even a tiny bit of manipulation of temperature or humidity data could be catastrophic for public safety.
Right. And what makes this so incredibly difficult, as the paper really points out, is what they call the heterogeneity hurdle. Mm. I mean, IoT isn't some neat unit arm network, is it? You've got devices varying wildly in computing power, processor architecture, memory, different communication protocols.
Yeah, totally different beasts.
And the applications, too, they're all over the map. Some need heavy computing, others need super fast responses. Trying to build one security solution for such a vast and diverse ecosystem, from a tiny sensor to a PowerShell edge server, that sounds like a huge challenge.
It is. And that's precisely where Trust Mesh really stands out. Its core innovation is it's a blockchain-enabled framework. Mm. But what's unique is that it supports non-deterministic scheduling algorithms. Fake machine learning or maybe genetic algorithms driving decisions, while still maintaining Byzantine fault tolerance. And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is that these two things, non-deterministic scheduling and BFT, they were traditionally seen as, well, mutually exclusive in blockchain systems.
Right. Usually, if you wanted that rock-solid fault tolerance, your scheduling had to be perfectly predictable step by step.
Exactly. Trust Mesh kind of breaks that mold.
So just to really make sure I get that, you're saying this isn't just some, like, clever technical trick. It's actually the bridge that lets cutting-edge AI and these adaptive algorithms, which are inherently unpredictable, finally operate securely, verifiably within a blockchain framework.
That's it, yeah.
Wow. That really does open up entirely new possibilities for intelligent, autonomous IoT systems that maybe we couldn't rely on before for critical stuff.
Absolutely. It fundamentally changes what's possible. And to achieve this, they've built Trust Mesh with this clever three-layered architecture. It gives you a really good mental map of how it all works. At the top, you've got the network management layer. Think of it as the administrative brain. In the middle, the computation layer, which is the decentralized workhorse doing all the, you know, heavy lifting. And then at the bottom, the perception layer, that's the direct interface with all those different IoT devices out there.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's worth noting, right, that Trust Mesh didn't just appear out of nowhere. It builds on earlier work like Fogbus, CoopEdge, BlockEdge.
That's right. It stands on the shoulders of giants, so to speak. But what really sets Trust Mesh apart, I think, is that it provides a genuinely comprehensive solution. It tackles security, performance, and management, all in a unified way.
Unlike some of the predecessors, which maybe focused on just one aspect or had limitations.
Exactly. Some were maybe partially centralized or only proven in simulations, which kind of limits their real-world use. TrustMesh, as their comparison showed, really offers complete decentralized control and full application lifecycle management, which means it's not just a cool idea. It's designed to be a complete, you know, ready-to-go solution for actual deployments.
Okay, let's dive into these layers then, starting at the top, the network management layer, the command center, you call it.
Yeah, the command center. This is where network admins set up the system, they deploy applications, define these complex workflows.
How does that work in practice?
Well, administrators use an application deployment client to manage the apps, deploying the software images, starting up the containers, even restarting things if they fail. Then there's a workflow management client. This lets them define these quite sophisticated workflow pipelines. Think of them like a visual map directed at cyclic graphs or DAGs, showing how data flows and tasks get done. And once these workflows are created and stored on the blockchain, they become immutable, like an unchangeable blueprint for processing data.
And for security and reliability, how is that baked in?
So every management action they take, deploying an app, defining a workflow, it triggers smart contracts down in the computation layer. These actions get cryptographically signed, then recorded on the blockchain. So you get this perfect immutable audit trail. And what's particularly clever, I think, is that the control nodes in this management layer, they're separate from the underlying network infrastructure, like Kubernetes or whatever is running the containers. They're interfaces, not single points of failure for the day-to-day operations. That really boosts reliability and keeps the security boundaries clear.
Okay, moving down a level then to the computation layer. The distributed engine.
That's right. This layer is made up of various compute nodes, could be edge devices, fog nodes, maybe even cloud resources, all working together in the blockchain network. And it's structured into three sublayers: data, consensus, and service.
Right. So the data sublayer, that's about storage.
Yep. Handles how information is stored. You've got robust, decentralized storage for the IoT data that needs to be kept permanently. Then every compute node keeps a local copy of the blockchain's immutable ledger. It records data movement, digital signatures, crucial for checking data integrity and providing those transparent audit trails. And for speed, for temporary data needed for ongoing tasks, there's a fast distributed in-memory cache.
Got it. Okay, now the consensus sublayer, you said this is where the real innovation is.
This is really the brain of TrustMesh's innovation. For most standard operations, TrustMesh uses practical Byzantine fault tolerance, PBFT. This protocol is, well, it's known for its ability to maintain decentralized control, even if, say, up to a third of the network nodes are acting maliciously.
Yeah.
It's a super robust base for trust.
Okay, so PBFT is like having a really resilient committee. Even if a few members try to cheat or mess things up, the whole group can still reach the right secure decision. That's the baseline trust.
Precisely.
But you mentioned earlier, PBFT alone isn't great for that non-deterministic scheduling, like ML-driven decisions. So how does TrustMesh extend PBFT to handle that? That's the breakthrough, right?
That is the breakthrough. And that's where their novel multi-phase commit protocol for scheduling comes in. It's a three-phase process. Phase one, request and designation. An IoT node sends a request. The system then deterministically picks a designated node to generate the schedule. This choice is based on available resources, CPU, memory using weighting factors, and critically, this whole selection process recorded on the blockchain. Total transparency about who's responsible.
Okay, so everyone agrees on who is going to create the schedule. What happens then? How do they make sure the schedule that one node generates is actually reliable and fair, especially if it's using something unpredictable like machine learning?
That's the beauty of the next steps. Phase two, generation. That designated node takes over. It uses a customizable scheduling algorithm. In their paper, they use something called least connected dynamic weighted round robin, or LCDWRR. It basically just balances workload and resources cleverly to generate the actual schedule.
Okay, generation happens, then comes the validation, I assume.
Exactly. Phase three, confirmation. This is where it gets really secure and flexible. The proposed schedule, it goes through another round of PBFT consensus. But here's the twist. It's validated against customizable rules. These aren't just technical checks. They can include things like how tasks are spread among different vendors, specific resource usage limits, maybe even security clearance levels for the data involved.
Wow. Okay. So it's not just did the designated node produce a schedule, but did it produce a schedule that meets all our policies?
Precisely. The schedule only gets marked active. and added to the blockchain and the cash after it satisfies all those rules and achieves PBFT consensus. This ensures not just technical correctness, but also strict adherence to crucial business or security policies. This whole multi-phase thing is really key to mixing that flexibility of non-deterministic processes with the solid security of blockchain.
That is clever. And then the service sublayer just executes the plan.
Pretty much. The task executor orchestrates the data processing according to those defined workflows, those GAGs we talked about. Tasks with no dependencies start right away. Nodes run their assigned tasks, they store outputs in the cache, maybe persistently if needed, and publish notifications when they're done. This allows for really efficient parallel execution of tasks at the same level in the workflow.
And wrapping it all up.
The last node, to finish its part of a workflow, verifies everything. Checks all the tasks are done, updates the workflow status to finalized on the blockchain, and then securely sends the final encrypted output back to the original IoT node. They use Curve 255-19 cryptography, which is very strong, ensuring security right back to the device that asked for the work.
Okay, which brings us down to the final layer, the perception layer, the actual IoT devices on the ground.
Exactly. Your sensors, your devices, they act as both the producers of the raw data and the consumers of the process results.
And you mentioned something about their design being efficient.
Yes, the zero process baseline design, which basically means the IoT nodes don't have any trust mesh related processes running by default. This is ideal for resource constrained devices. Mm-hmm. Keeps them lean, saves battery, saves processing power until they actually need to interact.
Makes sense for tiny devices. And they have some helper components.
Right. Two main ones. The transaction initiator, which bundles up the raw sensor data into transaction batches ready for the computation layer, and the response manager. This handles all the secure communication. It generates the public-private key pairs, sends the public key along with the request. So the final result can be securely encrypted just for that device, sent back, and only decrypted by the device itself using its private key. It completes that secure loop.
Okay, we've walked through the blueprint, this really meticulous design of TrustMesh. But, you know, a framework like this needs to prove itself. How did the researchers actually test it, put it under the microscope? What did they find out about its real-world performance and security?
Right, the proof is in the pudding. They used a heterogeneous testbed, 21 nodes in total, hosted on the Meldrum Research Cloud. This included 16 compute nodes, 4 IoT nodes, and 1 control node. And what's important, I think, is they deliberately made it diverse, different Linux versions, different hardware specs, to mimic the kind of messy, real-world IoT environments you'd actually encounter.
Not just a sterile lab setup.
Good.
And what scenario did they run?
They used a really relevant one for industrial IoT, a 3-stage cold chain monitoring system. Think tracking temperature and moisture from sensors, then detecting anomalies, and finally generating alerts if something's wrong. It's a critical application where data integrity is absolutely paramount, so it was a great stress test for the system.
Okay, so what did the results show? How did it perform resource-wise?
Looking at their resource usage, the graph showed some really interesting patterns. For CPU, for example, they saw these staggered peaks during application deployment. First, a peak in the network management layer, then maybe 30 seconds later, a peak in the computation layer. Now, this isn't a flaw. It actually shows a deliberate two-phase deployment. It's designed for reliability, to prevent resource clashes, make sure the system comes online smoothly. Then, once things were running, processing data, the computation layer settled into a sustained, roughly 45% CPU usage. And the IoT nodes, as you'd hope, stayed consistently low.
Interesting, like a controlled rollout. And RAM usage, similar story.
Very similar. You saw those stepping patterns during deployment again. A notable increase in the computation layer RAM as it got operational, but it looked like pretty efficient memory management overall. These patterns really suggest a well-orchestrated system. It handles the demands intelligently without sudden, uncontrolled spikes.
Okay, resources look managed. What about scalability? That's always a big question with blockchain.
Yes, scalability. This is where the results get particularly compelling, I think. They scale the number of compute nodes from 4 up to 16, so quadrupling the compute power. And the request round-trip time, that's a whole journey. From the initial request to getting the result back, it only increased modestly by about 8.3%. Went from about 33.5 seconds to just over 36 seconds.
Okay, an 8% increase for 4x the nodes? That does sound pretty good, especially for a blockchain system where consensus can add overhead.
It is encouraging, but here's maybe the even more compelling part, the framework overhead. That's the time the TrustMesh framework itself adds, separate from whatever the application is doing. That overhead stayed remarkably consistent across that scaling range, from 4 nodes to 16, only went up from about 3.25 seconds to 4.19 seconds.
Wow.
And critically, this consistency held true even when they varied the computational workload of the test application light medium intensive anomaly detection. It strongly suggests the overhead is mostly driven by the consensus operations, which are fairly constant, and not really by how complex the application task is.
So the system's own coordination cost doesn't balloon as you add more nodes or harder tasks.
Exactly. For real-time applications, that kind of predictability in the core system overhead is a huge advantage. It means the framework itself doesn't become the bottleneck just because the job got harder.
Okay, that scalability sounds promising. Now, what about that Byzantine fault tolerance you mentioned, the security aspect? Did they actually try to break it, put that unbreakable shield to the test?
Oh, they absolutely did. They simulated attacks. They made 5 out of the 16 compute nodes malicious. That's over 31%, so really pushing close to that PBFT one-third tolerance limit. The results were pretty decisive. TrustMesh detected and rejected the unauthorized scheduling attempts from these malicious nodes with 100% accuracy.
Yeah.
And, importantly, zero false positives. It didn't block any legitimate operations.
That's exactly what you want. 100% detection, no friendly fire. How quickly did it react when it detected an attack?
Incredibly fast. The detection latency was under 150 milliseconds, and the system recovered reliably too. It managed to create a new, valid schedule within about 5 seconds after spotting a malicious attempt. This shows it has minimal impact on normal operations, even when it's under attack, which is vital for keeping critical infrastructure running.
Okay, so we've covered the problem, this messy, untrusted IoT world. We've looked at the solution of TrustMesh's layered blockchain-based approach and its proven capabilities in testing. For you, the listener, trying to navigate this complex landscape, what's the big picture takeaway here? Why does TrustMesh really matter for the future of connected systems?
Well, I think it fundamentally means TrustMesh manages to effectively balance those really stringent security requirements with pretty impressive performance and flexibility. This makes it highly suitable for environments where trust, where auditability are absolutely paramount. Even if it means a slight performance trade-off compared to, say, non-blockchain systems that just don't have the security guarantees built in. So think regulated industries like healthcare, complex supply chain management. Anywhere, proving data integrity is non-negotiable.
Right, places where good enough security just isn't good enough.
Exactly. And beyond that, I think it signifies a move closer to a future where intelligent adaptive systems can make critical decisions in real time, in environments where trust cannot be assumed, and do it without a single point of failure or control. That's really foundational for building truly smart cities, autonomous supply chains, secure digital health systems, things like that.
Looking ahead then, the authors themselves pointed out some interesting directions for future work, right?
You did. One is optimizing scalability even further. They're exploring dynamic consensus mechanisms, like maybe transitioning from PBFT to something like proof of elapsed time for really massive networks. This could allow a kind of graceful trade-off, balancing Byzantine fault tolerance against just crash fault tolerance, depending on what a specific network needs most at that scale.
Interesting. What else?
Another promising area is decentralizing the network registry. Right now, it relies on a centralized control node registry. Moving that piece onto distributed storage tech would, you know, further enhance decentralization, remove any lingering single points of control, and finally, intelligently auto-scaling the computation layer by integrating with cloud resources, while keeping those security properties, of course. That would let TrustMesh dynamically expand during peak demand, giving you elastic and secure processing power when you need it.
So summing up, TrustMesh really seems to represent a significant leap forward. Secure, flexible, trustable, distributed computing, especially designed for that complex, often chaotic world of IoT. It really feels like it's about building trust in places where you absolutely cannot just assume it exists.
It really does. And, you know, it makes you wonder, beyond just IoT, what other complex decentralized systems could benefit from this kind of trustless architecture? One that integrates flexible processing with really unshakable security. Where else might we see this need? Ensuring integrity, ensuring auditability, without relying on one central authority. Could this enable new frontiers in automation, in data-driven decisions in other fields? Something to think about.